Look at this, a cigarette and a newspaper.
That stuff could have been here for years.
Then explain why the coffee's still hot.
It's called global warming, Johnny.
Okay.
Why do you strike me as one of those people that doesn't believe in that?
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast
dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, 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 good. Yeah, we're at episode 4.
Oh my God.
Of this season finale.
Yes. I like how you said that. This saison finale.
Decided to become very French for a minute.
So, Schitt's News.
Yes.
Before we get into this episode. Beep, 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 beep.
That's my new thing.
I love it.
I'm just saying.
I love it.
The news, the old oldie but goodie news call.
Did you catch Annie and Kelly Clarkson doing a little bit of Lexus, a little bit of Texas on her
God.
Show? That was amazing.
It really was.
Seeing Annie reprise all those dance moves was like, what is happening right now? It was amazing.
And just also knowing how much Kelly loves the show and the actors, and to have her like just play into that.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It also, like, clearly she had to have written those lines that added to that, right? Like, I mean, it's like perfect. Like, it blended perfectly in. It was magical.
Very enjoyable.
Yes. And then Dan was on James Corden on Wednesday night.
Looking amazing.
I mean, doesn't he always?
Yeah.
They did a really funny bit on that show where it was him and Kumail, and they refused to answer any questions until James wrote a check to one of his musicians that he had promised a check to. And so James like ran backstage and got his checkbook, and they sort of led the interview between the two of them for a while, which was just great.
Talking about their eyebrows.
Their eyebrows, yes. And Kumail's insane body transformation over the last year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
When I first saw it, I'm like, that's not real.
I know.
But it's very real.
It's very real. You know, props to him, too, for not becoming one of those, like, people that's all about their bodies now. You know what I mean? Like, when Chris Pratt went through his Marvel transformation, it was, like, all he could talk about, you know?
It was all anybody could talk about.
True. The other important piece of Schitt's News that has happened in the last week is that Debra Hansen won the Costume Designers Guild Award for Contemporary Costumes,
exciting.
I believe. Don't quote me on that.
Well deserved.
And Catherine got to accept it on her behalf, which is amazing. And I only caught a snippet of her acceptance speech where she talked about in the Getty fire last year.
Yeah, I heard about that.
How she had to scramble to gather, you know, precious objects, and among those were pieces of Moira's costume that she had kept and are truly precious items.
Yeah.
And that's such a testament to Deb Hansen. So congrats to her. Well deserved.
Absolutely.
Finally, well deserved recognition for the genius that is this show. Yeah. So with that, let's get into it. This is episode 604 titled Maid of Honor. And the pop synopsis is Moira shares the newly released Crows movie trailer with the Jazzy Gals. Johnny and Roland find a suspicious bag of money at the new motel.
Okay. No mention.
Yeah.
Of the wedding that we are in.
Yeah. Or arguably the A story of the episode,
sure.
Considering the title.
True.
I think that is the A story.
I didn't feel like it.
Okay, interesting.
I felt like Moira's was.
Okay, I'll give that to you.
Because everybody,
I'll give it to
and
you.
You know, even us, we've been making such a big to-do about this movie.
True.
And before this episode aired, they released on social media the trailer, which is phenomenal.
Epic.
My God. It is so good.
It is.
If you
really
haven't
great.
Seen it, we've posted it on our social media.
Yes.
We've reposted, rather. So check it out. I promise you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, it's so good.
So amazing.
It's honestly, whoever made that trailer, I guess Dan was involved in the creation of that trailer. It's so smart. They've totally taken all of the tropes of horror movie trailers and horror movies, and they've peppered in like things that we, the audience, want and need to see, which is basically Moira in various situations cawing all over the place, you know? And it's just, oh my God, it's amazing.
It's good. They even phenomenal. Take one of her lines in the trailer.
Yeah.
And the narrator, whoever is talking, speaks it, but it's like goes on way too long. And it just makes it that much more funny.
Yeah.
So it's great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we get into this episode.
Yes, we have our first segment of this episode. Oh, word. Come on, baby, tell me what's
the word. I want to go first this time.
You can go first this time.
Mainly because I feel lackluster about my word.
Okay.
And in truth, I feel like I don't really have a good enough backup for it, but it's kind of like the only word that just kept coming to the forefront of my brain.
That's fair. Yeah. That's why we do this.
Yeah. So for me, my word is apprehension. Now, the dictionary defines apprehension as anxiety or fear that something bad or unpleasant will happen. It also has a second definition of understanding or grasp.
Okay.
Which is an interesting, I've never used the word apprehension in that way, I don't think.
Yeah.
But
that's different.
That is a correct usage of the word. Uh-huh. The reason I kept coming back to apprehension for this episode is because I feel like there's a fair amount of apprehension happening, mainly for Stevie with regard to her life and the state of it and her future and what it holds, in addition to the maid of honor duties that she's signed up for.
Okay.
I also think that Moira is dealing with a bit of apprehension, which we'll get into as we cover that storyline. Sure. But I think there's a bit of second guessing on her part that might be happening a little bit.
Okay.
Again, we'll get into it. I have some thoughts. But then also, I think on Johnny's part, there's a fair bit of apprehension in the events that lead up to the ultimate resolution of that storyline. I think that he's feeling a little bit like, what have I signed up for? What's going on here? What is this, a terrible idea? Was this a big mistake? And so he's sort of struggling with some of those feelings as they're going through the motions of that storyline. So that's the word for me. I don't love it because I think ultimately everything sort of resolves in a way that doesn't have or leave you with apprehension.
Sure.
But as you're watching the episode and as you're going through the journey with these characters, I feel like there's a sense of that. So that's my word.
This is great. This is why I love that we do this segment. And this is why I love the dynamic of this podcast between you and I. Because my word for this episode is conscious.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
Yeah. A little different than your take on this, but hey, the dictionary defines conscious as aware of and responding to one's surroundings, awake.
Mm-hmm.
It also defines it as painfully aware of, sensitive to, concerned with, or worried about a particular matter. That's why I like that you chose that word and I chose this word, because two different perspectives on things,
mm-hmm.
which I can appreciate. For me, I chose this word because I feel like in all three of these storylines, at least one or more of the characters involved are conscious of something. I feel like with Moira and Jocelyn, Moira is very conscious that Jocelyn is apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately takes that as like, she doesn't like my movie.
Mm-hmm.
Jocelyn is conscious of the fact that she wants to say something, but she doesn't know how to say it. And she knows that Moira can feel that. She's not dumb. Neither one of them are dumb in
right,
this.
Right.
They know that the other one has something to say, but they're just not saying it.
Right.
With Alexis in the whole wedding planning storyline, she's very conscious that Stevie is apprehensive and she wants to make it better somehow, which is very much unlike her. She takes a different approach to things, but she's sensitive to what Stevie's feeling in that moment. And she's also sensitive to the fact that she kind of has to work with everybody to you know, for the planning and everything. And she doesn't want to disappoint anybody. She knows what she wants to do, but she doesn't want to disappoint anybody. With Roland and Johnny, oh my gosh, I have never seen Roland so conscious before. He's smart. I mean,
yeah.
They find what they find, and Roland takes a very responsible approach to things. He's like, well, let's stake this out. Let's see what's really going on here before we get the cops involved and before we do all this stuff. And I can appreciate that. He's grown up, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's my word for this episode.
I really dig it. We got one submission from Frank, our good friend Frank.
Hi, Frank.
With his word for the episode. And he went with acknowledgement or validation, which I also think makes a lot of sense too, you know,
sure.
as he's laid it out, right? Moira's looking for validation from Jocelyn, from really anybody that she's shown this trailer to.
Yeah.
Right? Alexis is looking for validation that she is a big part of this wedding, as she's always thought she would be, or maybe even was promised she would be, you know. And Roland is even looking for a little bit of validation from Johnny that he was responsible and was doing the right thing, or did the right thing here, you know. So a good word. I think a good...
It's a strong word.
Yeah. Makes
certainly
sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Frank. So with that...
Yeah.
Let's get into the task at hand. Right off the bat, no punches being pulled in this cold open.
No, man.
The Crows trailer is here.
What we've all been waiting for. We wanted to see something from this movie.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've said it a few times. So have some of the listeners. I know you guys have said it too.
Alexis tells Moira that the trailer has arrived and that the Interflix people just sent it to her. So she has forwarded on to Moira's account, and they're all going to gather and watch this trailer.
Oh my God, I just sent you the first trailer to the Crows movie.
What?
My Crows movie?
No, Gwen's. They just sent over a little sneak peek before it goes live tomorrow.
Oh, Alexis, this is a critical moment. A siren call to the cinematic rapture that is to come. How'd it look?
It, like, literally just came through.
John, draw the curtains. David!
What?
We're going to watch the Crows trailer! No, no, go away. Perhaps I should screen it privately first.
Okay, well, I'm here now, so the least you can do is show me it.
Dad!
John, it's practically obsidian in here.
You just said close the curtains.
So with that, they attempt to watch this trailer.
All of this business with it's the commercials and then it's the buffering.
But you felt it, right? Like,
oh,
you felt
my God.
The frustration in
absolutely
this moment. We have all been here way too many times where we really want to watch something.
Yeah.
Whether it be on YouTube, whatever. And first of all, the ads.
The ads are the best. The ads playing, and then when they restart it, and the same ad plays, I'll die. Also, why is Interflix sending a link that has an ad in front
of
it? I
don't know. They sent, like, the YouTube link or something. I have no idea what they sent.
Who knows? But, oh my God, it's great.
Yeah.
Also, David's acting as if he flew in for this. He's like, now that I'm here, you might as well show me something. He literally came in from the other
room. But I love it. She's like, David, no, go. And also, Gwen's movie?
That is one of my favorite throwaway lines, maybe of all time in this show. They don't usually do jokes like that on this show, and it was so perfectly placed here.
It was.
No, Gwen's. Obviously, it's your Crows movie.
Apparently, she's like the talk
right
now.
Amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
So Moira has brought the trailer to the Jazzy Gals rehearsal.
Okay.
And she's screening it for all the gals. All the gals are huddled behind her in front of the computer and they're watching it. And, you know, the final, like, Crows Have Eyes 3 thing pops up on the screen and everyone starts applauding and they're so excited. And Twyla's like, oh my God, was that you the whole time? Which, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, obviously.
I honestly love Twyla in that moment.
I love
it's
her
like,
too.
Twyla. Oh, bless your heart.
She's, yeah. But then we learn that this is the third time they've watched it in a row. Like, and she's still looking for comments from people.
Yes. And the fact that, again, Twyla is acting like, oh my God, the third time around.
Right. Did she ask that same question all three times? I really want to know. But Jocelyn is being, you know, conspicuously quiet.
Mm-hmm.
She even like doesn't applaud. Like, did you catch that? Like, everyone starts applauding and she looks and she's like, oh, I guess I better start clapping too.
Yeah, she takes this funny breath, like, mm-hmm. Okay, we're
clapping now. So Moira immediately is like, oh, you know, we've been so rude. We haven't allowed Jocelyn to say anything. And Jocelyn is like at a loss for words here. I don't know what you think about it, but my take is basically what I think the show wants the audience to take away as well, which is this looks like a hot mess of a movie. This is a very low budget, not a great movie.
Sure. Even Ronnie had something to say about, well, Ronnie has something to say about everything.
Yeah.
But she asked questions, like legitimate questions about the plot and about, you know, Moira's character.
Right.
And did you get infected after? Or
yeah, were you infected at the end? And she was like, and she was legitimately like impressed with the caliber and quality of the effects and everything.
But if I'm being 100% honest here, and this still remains true, I don't know how to take Jocelyn in that moment.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish I could be like, well, maybe this. And I don't know. I don't know if she's disappointed in it. I don't know if she just flat out doesn't like it. I don't know if she's trying to be careful about her words. I don't know.
Here's my take on it. My take is that she's seen the trailer now a few times in a row, which, I mean, say what you will about any great movie, but you watch the trailer enough times, it takes some of the enjoyment out of it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But she's been forced to watch this thing a few times in a row now, and she's not into it because it's just not her kind of movie anyway. And to add on top of that, it doesn't look like the next greatest thing since sliced bread. So I think that Jocelyn is like struggling to protect Moira and also fall in line a little bit too, because everyone around her is singing the praises of this movie and like they're talking about Oscars and shit, and she's not feeling it. Hmm. And she doesn't want to just come out and be like, what the fuck is this? You know, that's not Jocelyn. She's never going to be that guy. Like, she's never been that candid with Moira. Like, she's always careful about how she approaches Moira when Moira's wanting a bit of coddling and validation, you know, from
true,
her.
True.
So she's never going to be like, what the fuck? But she also can't legitimately be like, that was amazing. So she's just silent.
Says, It's a movie.
Yeah. Like, she's kind of just, you know, hoping to just get past this. She immediately is like, let's get back to rehearsal, gals. You know, like, let's not dwell on this for too long. And I think that she feels like she got away with it a little bit. You know,
yeah.
I don't think she was expecting Moira to show up at her door after rehearsal.
No, Moira wanted answers.
Yeah.
And she wanted to know what the deal was with Jocelyn and why she didn't want to say anything about her movie.
Mm-hmm.
Give any opinions, criticisms, anything mm-hmm. at all. And I mean, even now, she doesn't really give her much
when she
shows up. But Moira takes that as, she says, why do you hate my movie?
Yeah.
Which, I get it. I mean, anybody who, you know, if you see somebody's lack of a response, you'd be like, oh my God, they hate it.
Yeah,
don't
but
like
I,
it.
But here's the thing, though. And I feel like this is what I was sort of alluding to earlier, is Moira's not an idiot. Moira knows the world. Moira knows what's up. And I do think that the reason she is watching this trailer so many times, and at some point, like, later on when we cut to her watching it again in the office, right, she's like commenting on like the length of the egg or the needle or whatever. She's like picking it apart, because I think that even she herself can see that it's not the most amazing thing that's ever existed.
Yeah.
And so having Jocelyn be even a little bit negative or just on the fence about it is sending her into a spiral of, oh my God, this is going to fail. This is terrible. She needs Jocelyn. She needs everybody around her to tell her that this is amazing so that she can almost believe it herself, I think.
Right.
You know?
It's funny for me because hearing you say that, it all makes sense. Everything clicks. And for me, watching it in real time, like scene by scene, nothing is making sense to me. I don't know why Jocelyn feels the way she does. I don't know why she doesn't want to say anything. I don't know why, even when Moira says, like, why do you hate my movie? Why Jocelyn still won't give her really anything until that final scene with them.
Yeah.
Then everything makes sense to me. And I feel like that scene can be interpreted in many ways, but I interpret it now when Jocelyn comes to her and she basically reads her this
book report review, style review,
like a review of the movie. And it's so smart. And I mean, she's showing real writing talent here.
Yeah.
And even Moira is like, who wrote that? Thinking it was a critic.
Mm-hmm.
And when she even finds out that it was Jocelyn, I don't know. It's everything. I feel like I can see where this is going. And these two have a future together. And I think that Jocelyn just needed the right words because it's Moira she's dealing with here.
Right.
And Moira needed to hear the right words because she's Moira.
Yeah.
And she's also very smart when it comes to this stuff. She's been in the business for how long? And the shock of hearing Jocelyn, you know, her words and everything, is because Jocelyn has not been in this business and Jocelyn has never sounded like this before. So there's an appreciation there for the both of them. And I feel like this means something. They're going to be working together. Obviously, the first hint of that was Cabaret.
Right.
So I don't know. Everything just makes sense now.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and I think that's an astute observation, a classic Dow, if you will.
The whole thing.
Because I think you're right. Like, it was all leading up to this moment. Like, all of the uncertainty and uneasiness from Jocelyn and the feeling of, what the hell, man, from Moira, right, is leading up to a point where Moira is seeing that Jocelyn is able to find the right words, say the things that she knows she wants to hear.
Yeah.
But in a way that's like meaningful still. It's not just like lip service.
Yeah.
It's definitely exciting. Things are bombulating here. Yeah. You know?
And going back to what you said earlier about Moira, you know, at the desk, and she's even picking apart the trailer, I think that's on purpose.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's showing that she's critical of this as well, her own movie. And, you know, to have that followed by Jocelyn coming in and giving her own review on the movie, I think that's smart.
Yeah.
I think that's the writing being very smart right now and making things fall into place here.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for it, if I'm being honest. I mean,
yeah,
these two together, how funny is it now how this is working?
Listen, I actually talk about smart writing. It's amazing how organically the partnerships between Johnny and Roland and Moira and Jocelyn have formed. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because obviously the show's amazing, but it's wonderful to see and watch happen. 4 years ago or whenever these guys came to town, these four people were on opposite ends of the planet.
Yeah.
And now they are working together and they're building something together and they're like meshing and they're speaking each other's language and they understand each other on a level that makes them good partners.
And what's even better is that we've never seen the roses, Johnny and Moira, this accepting of the shits before, or this excited, really, to be in something with them, to
like
be
welcoming of them into the sphere.
We've never seen this. This is not them. This is not who they've ever really been.
True.
You know, and now they're opening up to them. And that's different.
Yeah. I mean,
that's very different.
It's different and it makes sense. It's it's an evolution in its own right.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's earned.
Right.
Right. And it's just, yeah, it's really cool.
It is.
It takes something as simple and, dare I say, mundane as Moira's trailer came out, and it turned it into a moment between her and Jocelyn. I mean, that's just good writing, man. What are you going to do? You know, what can you say?
And, you know, with the Johnny and Roland storyline, which we can get
into. Yeah, let's get into now.
That even, you know, that paired up with this storyline.
Yeah.
It's like it makes me take a step back and be like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch.
I always thought that if we ever got to this place with these characters, it was not going to feel right. And it was going to be like, okay, they're trying a little too hard here. Like, come on, in what world would these, you know, two people ever really get along or whatever? But like you said, it feels very organic.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just happening naturally.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that.
And you know what it is too? Again, not to harp too much on like the smartness of the writing. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the story was never just about Johnny and Moira. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they were never our only audience surrogate. As much as stories we got about Johnny and Moira, we got just as much background and information about Roland and Jocelyn, to the point where, as an audience, like, we care about them just as much, and we know them, we see them for who they are just as much as we see the roses. So when we see them coming together, we know that it works. We see that it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it says it in the title. The show is about Schitt's Creek.
True.
It is about all in this town.
That's right.
So let's get into Johnny and Roland.
They are now the proud owners of this new motel.
Yeah.
And they've come to, I guess, do the rounds. It seems like...
check it out.
Yeah.
See what they've gotten themselves into.
Right.
If it needs any fixing, what it needs. This hotel's really nice.
It looks great.
Wow. Dare I say a little nicer.
A little bit.
Than
a little bit. The
Rosebud.
The rooms seem a little bit bigger.
Sure.
They have like... you know, well, but I guess their rooms have seating areas too, so that's not the biggest takeaway, I guess. But
does it?
Yeah, you know, they have like the table in
the
center and whatever. But like these guys have like a couch.
This hotel is more modern, I guess you could.
That's
say.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair to say. Modern and feels more chainy.
Like,
whereas the Schitt's Creek or whereas the Rosebud feels very much like that's the only one of its kind.
Yeah.
This place does feel like it has like a Quality Inn or a Days Inn vibe to it, where
which
all
sense.
The rooms look the same.
Because it was being kept up by, you know, this couple.
Right.
Betty and Benny.
Right.
They were taking care of the motel.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, they didn't buy a lemon, as Roland says.
Yeah.
This is not the lemon of motels. Mm-hmm. It's actually very nice, very well put together.
Point of order here, though, that I want to like understand. This is us getting into this is me getting into minutia again. But again, I need to wrap my head around it.
Okay.
So I was taking it to mean that there's nobody staying at the motel right now because it's closed for now before they can get themselves plugged in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they were expecting there to be nobody there, and they were just going to look in all the rooms and check it out and whatever. And that's how they happened upon room 6 with all the stuff in it that they did. Do I have that right? Or was it a fully occupied, or not even fully, but like, was it an occupied hotel that they're just now owning?
No, I think because of the sale.
Yeah.
They had to kind of like hold.
Yeah.
Put a
like
hold
they, like, on, they don't have any reservations right now.
On giving any, or, you know,
renting
booking any rooms.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I think everything's on hold right now.
Got it. So when they walk into room 6 and see a bag of money and a gun, they're like, what's going on? And a cigarette and a newspaper and a hot cup of coffee and all of that. Johnny right away is like, this is shady shit. We have a squatter. Not happening. We need to get the cops involved.
Right.
And Roland has the foresight to be like, okay, and then what? Welcome all our guests to a crime scene? Like, what? Like, which, what do you think is going to happen if you call the cops? It does make sense. It also makes me wonder, like, is it a crime scene? Like, the cops will come, they'll clear all the evidence.
Which also makes me wonder, how quickly are you going to open this thing?
Well, I guess they figure because it's pretty turnkey.
Okay.
They don't need to spend too much time waiting, you know, to open it again. As soon as they can get bookings, they'll do it.
Okay.
That's my takeaway. I think when Johnny walks in and sees that, like, oh, shit, like, this place doesn't even need much work. It's, like, well-maintained. Everything looks good. It's got good bones. Like, we can open, you know? Except now they have a squatter problem. So Roland is like, no, we're not calling cops. Why don't we just stake out the place, see who shows up, kick them out, and change the locks, and we'll be, and then at least we got rid of the squatter problem, you know?
Easy peasy.
Which, again, it is a logical solution. Like, sure. It does make sense. Couldn't things go wrong? Absolutely. The guy's got a gun.
Considering there's a gun, a loaded gun.
Can things go terribly wrong? Yeah. Considering it looks like a gangster is living there? Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not the worst idea in the world.
It really isn't. It's not anything that I probably wouldn't have mentioned if I was in that situation. Like, well, do we call the cops? Do we really want to do this?
Yeah.
We don't even know what's happening here.
Right.
Meh.
At least, like, get a good look at the guy before you call the cops to see. Or gal.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I'm with it.
Okay, we give it a day. See if the guy comes back.
Or gal. This is the 21st century, Johnny. Okay. Let's get with it. Come on. I'm with it.
The way he says it. Let's get with it.
I'm with it. Get on my level, man.
Oh, God. Is Roland with it? I don't even know what Roland
is. I actually do think he is with it.
Okay.
I will give that to him.
But I do think that it's funny, hilarious even, that it took for Roland to buy a motel for him to, like, get something up there, you know? You know what I mean? Like, really? We should all buy motels then.
But again, it's an evolution of the character,
you know?
When we started, he was the mayor of a podunk town, not trying to do anything about his life, you know? And now he's got some business sense under him, and he sees the future. He's got a plan. He's thinking logically. That's evolution for Roland, I feel like. Like, that's not nothing. I don't know.
I love that you found a new word other than growth.
Evolution? Yeah. I feel like we've used evolution before.
We probably have. I just haven't heard it in a hot minute.
That's fair.
So. So they want to do this stakeout.
Yes.
And they do in Roland's truck.
Yeah, there's
so many questions about
this.
They're
so conspicuous. No. What kind of stakeout is this?
First of all, so this vending machine is still working.
Well, yeah. They didn't unplug it.
No, but, like, there's still things in there. I don't know. That just wears me out. Like, I would want to clear everything and, like, make it anew. Like, go fill things. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, this is day one. They will.
Sure. But mind you, there's two drinks and one bag of chips.
Yes.
As soon as we get this place up and running, the first order of business is to restock the vending machine. Do you know that all they had was this Drink Time orange soda and one bag of Polly Puffs?
All right. We're going to have to get some brand names in there.
No, I'm saying get more of this. Do you realize that this soda is made with 99% real drink? You can't argue with that kind of math.
99% real drink.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to know what that 1% that isn't is, you know? Come on.
Sugar? I don't know.
I don't know. So they're in this truck, and this guy pulls up.
Yeah.
And it is a guy.
It is a guy.
Johnny was right.
Johnny's sexist instincts were right as usual.
And they cover their faces as to not be seen. What?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
This is the blind leading the blind here.
It really is. They're like, oh, don't look. Cover your face.
Neither of them know anything about anything in terms of being, like, sneaky or espionage.
Literally, nothing about a stakeout.
No.
But I also love that this guy, like, doesn't even look their way.
Well, because as far as he's concerned, he's got nothing to hide. Like, let's not forget, he's just living there.
That's true.
So he's just going about his business. I mean, it is fair that he looks kind of shady. He's wearing, like, a full-on trench coat, and he's, like, disheveled and shit.
And then he loses the coat.
Yeah, he loses the coat, which means he's getting comfortable. So then they go and confront this guy, right? Mm-hmm. They knock on his door and they're like, okay, we're going to confront him. And the guy is very gruff. And
he's very aggressive.
Yeah.
With them.
Which I don't know. I don't know about this guy. A part of me feels like he's lying.
Me too. Me too. This is why. Because why? Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
So you're a prosecutor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're going to stay in a motel?
Yeah. Are you an undercover cop? Like, because like, that's what undercover cops do.
Right. Not prosecutors.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be, like, protected from the people you prosecute, then hire somebody to, like, watch you, yeah. take care of you.
Or, yeah, like, have, you know, armed people at your house right. or whatever. Like,
right. Have security.
What's your story, man?
But, like, so you're going to stay in a motel where anybody can really find you, and then you have no protection other than your loaded handgun, which I'm sure if somebody really wanted to get you that bad, they're 2 steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
10 steps ahead of you.
And also, like, you're a prosecutor. You've probably put away, like, hundreds and thousands of criminals. Like, is this your end game? You're just going to live in this motel in right. perpetuity forever? Like, do you not have a family? Do you
you're
not have a house?
Looking,
do you not
like,
have a life? Like,
behind your back and, like,
and why do you have a bag of cash?
No trail, like, because he doesn't want to be traced. So he pays in cash for this motel room.
Something's not adding
I
up
I know.
For me.
It's just weird.
Something is not adding
And they're
up.
Just like, oh, okay, oh, got it. Makes total sense.
It's baked into the contract.
Does it?
Got it.
And then
does not make sense.
My other question, like, why wouldn't Johnny have read the contract himself? Like,
well, because Roland and Jocelyn bought it without them. They signed the deal without
but
them.
But if they're going to be partners.
I mean, like, yeah. But also, it's as far as Johnny knows, it was a straightforward, like, here's the money and here's
sure,
the keys
sure.
to the motel. Like, there, he didn't know that there was, like, caveats and footnotes to the contract.
So they're just going to take this guy's word for it.
That, right. Like, that's the problem I'm yeah. having is, like, it all yeah. seems very shady. And which is why, again, the show takes an interesting turn here when the show is just like, well, that's that then. Like, they don't leave you, the audience, with any sense of like, ooh, what's happening here? Like, if only Johnny could be like, I don't know about this guy or something. I'm left to think, all right, I guess that's the last I'm going to see of this guy. Big deal. All
right.
Like, right. I don't know. Maybe I should just take it at face value.
The only thing I can think of is that now this guy is here because he's an attorney. And if somehow somewhere down the line,
shit
they're
going to
need him for something. That's
I
the
guess.
Only thing I can think of.
But do you really think we'll ever see this guy again?
No.
I don't think so.
But, I mean, I'm just trying to, like, grasp, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I genuinely think that this was just a trial and tribulation. Like, you know, one of many that we sort of knew was coming,
yeah.
right? Like, they're starting a business venture together. This is the first time Johnny is looking to Roland as a partner.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to have some bumps along the way. This was the first of that. And
then I have a moment that I haven't had in a while with Roland here, where when that whole scene is over and they're like, okay, you were right. And he's like, well, he wants him to acknowledge that he was right. And
right.
That he's, you know, awesome and great and whatever.
Professional.
And it's like, but hold on. But you weren't 100% because you didn't read the fucking contract.
That's what I'm saying.
So if that was in there, you wouldn't, I mean, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That I know. It's a little wonky for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me feel that great. That
right.
like the whole ending to that storyline doesn't make me feel that great.
Right.
But again, I think where the show wants me to be is just, all right, whatever. That was just an episode. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
don't read too much into it or whatever. So I'm just going to try not to. And we'll move on.
That's that.
That's that.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
That leaves us with the titular storyline.
Ooh, yes.
Maid of Honor. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Schitt's Creek, but your Canada is showing. It's spelled wrong.
I know. It's spelled wrong. I love that.
I shouldn't say it's spelled wrong, but it's spelled differently.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Maid of Honor, Alexis finds David's wedding book, dream book, under his pillow where she happened to be looking for an earring.
Hilarious. But I also love that David has a wedding dream.
Oh my God. Are you surprised?
And that he still has it.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, Monica still had hers from when she was 6.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like if you're going to take the time to make one of those things, it's going to go with you everywhere.
Right. That's
forever.
True.
You know?
That's true.
Until you actually get married.
I love that.
I love it too. And I also love the specificity of JC Chazay and Jenna Elfman.
Okay, but can you see it?
What?
In Patrick?
Patrick is a combination?
Yes.
No?
What?
Wait, should I?
I think so. I see it.
What about Patrick says Jenna Elfman to you?
Oh my gosh. Just her, like,
her Scientology-ness?
No, no. God. Fuck, I forgot she was a Scientologist for a second there.
Ugh.
No. So you know what I think of when I think of Jenna Elfman?
Yeah, you think of Dharma and Greg.
Right. So that's the part where she's just very, like,
flighty and spirited, none of which Patrick is.
I don't know. I don't see it
at all.
Really?
And I definitely don't see JC Chazay in him either.
Well, he's sexy.
Maybe
so.
Maybe Chris Kirkpatrick.
No. No.
Like, come on, Patrick is a bit of a goober. We can all agree.
All right. Well, I see it.
I'm not saying he's an unattractive sexy man, or he's not an unattractive sexy man, but I don't see JC Chazay in him.
I think JC Chazay is sexy, and I think Patrick is sexy. I don't know.
But not in the same way.
But why?
I don't know. It's just a vibe. It's a feeling.
I think that they're very, you know what it is? It's like they're not men of many words.
Okay,
only the words
what
that
do you
count.
Know about JC Chazay?
I've known him ever since Mickey Mouse Club. So
okay.
Plenty. I don't know. All I'm saying is I think it's cute. I think that I see it
all right.
Kind of like on this dreamy level of where, you know what I mean? Where you want to make things work.
I'll allow it, but watch yourself, counselor.
You're not buying anything right now.
I'm allowing it, all right?
Allowing it, not buying it.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's cute.
So he's got this journal.
I even have it in my notes. Jason's just saying, gentlemen, Patrick is the perfect combo. That's awful. Oh, Lord.
So one of the things in the journal is the green atonement dress that Keira Knightley wears for Alexis's Maid of Honor look, which, hello, yes.
Yeah.
That dress was iconic as fuck
when
that movie came out.
Yeah.
God, that movie was so good.
It is a good movie.
I have not seen it since it came out, like the one time I watched it, but I just remember being in love with it.
I see it every time it comes on cable.
How often does that happen?
Not. It hasn't. In a while.
In a while, yeah.
But it has its moments. You know how like every movie has its moments where like it plays over and over and over again for a solid like month or two and then it's like gone forever.
Yeah. No, it's a very good movie. Saoirse Ronan. What's her name?
Saoirse
Ronan.
Yes.
Is the little girl in that, right?
She is.
That was like her first movie.
Bitch.
Seriously, though. Fucking
a! Bitch in
can
that
you
movie?
Believe?
Sorry.
Can you imagine being 9 years old and being like, "I'm gonna fuck up this relationship for my
I'm gonna
sister.
Fuck up lives.
I'm gonna fuck up
lives.
Everything.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Awful.
Oof.
It was him. Ugh. There, I saw them.
Fuck.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible.
Anyway. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. Alexis is like getting excited. She's like, yeah. Oh my God, yeah, maid of honor. Like, you know, use me for the month you've got me. Like, I'm here. And you can tell like David is being like a little cagey about the whole thing, kind of like avoiding the topic a little bit until he can't when Patrick comes in and they start talking about how they're going to his suit fitting. And Alexis is like, okay, well, I'm coming. Like, why didn't you guys tell me or whatever?
My maid of honor duty.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, ooh, oops. Kind of, sort of told Stevie that she could be the maid of honor because you weren't going to be here for 6 months.
Ouch.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. I have so many flip-flopping thoughts about this whole thing.
Really?
Between David, Alexis, and Stevie. From one scene to the next, I don't know what I think about either of them. I don't know.
About either of them being Stevie and Alexis?
Or any of them, yeah. Any of them. Okay. The whole thing. Because in this scene, in this opening moment between him and Alexis and Patrick, when he tells Alexis that he's asked Stevie,
right,
there seems to be a bit of, oh, shit, I actually want Alexis to be my maid of honor, but now I've gone done and asked Stevie to do it. And now I'm, like, stuck between a rock and a hard place because I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I genuinely think that if Alexis was going to stay from the beginning, she would have been the one to have been asked. I don't think it would have been Stevie.
Okay, so is he also trying to get her to give up the role like Alexis is the whole time that she's trying?
Nope. I think that he made his choice and that he didn't want to be put in a position where he had to break the news to anybody or break any hearts or make anybody upset or uncomfortable or anything. And right now he's like in such wedding mode that I think what he said was true. He didn't want any hurt feelings.
Okay.
He didn't want anything weird.
Awkward.
No issues.
Yes. Yeah.
This was what it was because of the situation that he was put in. Period. I don't think that it was. I don't think it's that deep where, like,
okay,
you know what I mean? He was. Didn't want. I think that from the beginning it would have been Alexis, but since she wasn't supposed to be there, he asked the next obvious.
But they're not getting married till she gets back. They've settled that. That was the whole argument from episode one.
Right, but she wasn't supposed to be there for the planning and everything, which
Stevie
would
have been.
Yeah, but
she can still be the maid of honor if she's not there for the planning.
Sure, but she couldn't have done the maid of honor duties.
Which are what exactly?
I mean,
he's planning his own bachelor party. And
yeah, but it's the involvement throughout the whole process. And there is help and there is things that, you know, maid of honor, that's what they call it, maid of honor duties.
Can you tell him, so like anti-wedding?
Well,
no, I know
you're not the only one.
I shouldn't even say I'm anti-wedding. It's just like I don't understand weddings. But anyway.
Sure. I just think that like in the traditional sense.
Okay.
Of a maid.
Like he wanted somebody.
Maid of honor does.
He wanted somebody that would be there.
Yeah, be present.
On site, essentially. Right. Okay.
And fair. That wasn't going to be Alexis.
Okay.
Now, because she was supposed to be gone.
Right.
So he asked again the next obvious choice, which is his best friend.
Yeah.
Stevie. And I don't think that he really ever thought that Stevie was immediately going to know what to do. But he also knew, like, I can help her.
He knows what he wants anyway.
I can hold her hand in this. Like, no big deal.
Yeah.
But she's here.
So, okay, in light of that, then, I take issue with the way that he approaches the whole to-do at the suit. At the tailor store or whatever.
What do you mean? How?
Well, okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's pan through the story as it happens. So Alexis is like, oh, well, that's not a big deal. Like, she doesn't even seem like she really wants the job, so I'll just take it off of her.
Which I 100% agree with her. Because that's Stevie is fine. Not the kind of person who, you know, would do this kind of a thing by choice.
Yeah.
Asked, sure, because it's her best friend. Again, asking her to do it, so sure.
Yeah.
But even Patrick said, she said it with a reluctant,
a begrudging
sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we can all see that happen.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Like sure?
I take no umbrage with the asking of Stevie and the begrudging sure of Stevie's response.
Right.
And the idea that Patrick or that David is like she's second in line. Like I take right. no problem. Like I have no problems with any of that in theory.
Yeah.
So Alexis is like so quick to be just like, oh, no problem then. Like I'll just come with you guys to this fitting and I'll just like, you know,
and this is
ease her out of right. it and take over.
This is what Alexis does best, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is she immediately inserts herself into the situation and she's like, oh, got it. I'll take it from here.
Absolutely.
And David knows that. And
which while is David why he is says like, no hurt feelings.
Right. And while David's like, listen, okay, fine. Like, whatever everybody, like, this isn't bigger picture for him. Like, this isn't, it's about him and it's
right.
mainly about him. It's about him and Patrick.
Right.
And everything else is just, ugh.
The stuff that needs to be ironed right. out and fleshed
out. And so
out
he's and... going to allow Alexis to do this because, sure, I, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, but see, the same idea stands though, because she's still going to be gone for 5 months. So why is he okay with it now?
I don't know. I mean,
do you get what I'm saying? That's
yeah,
that's because, what makes me feel well, icky about it. Because when they go to pick up Stevie from Larry Air,
right,
and they go to the tailor, it feels like he's giving her challenges that she can't overcome on purpose to help Alexis highlight why she's the better fit for the job.
I don't take it that way. I think that the reason he allows it also is because Alexis makes the point, like, I'm here for a month. Alexis can do so much in a month.
True.
Than Stevie could do in this entire
yeah,
time.
That's you know? True.
And even without needing David to hold her hand, Alexis takes charge. We know that about Alexis.
That's true.
So she can get
she
shit
knows
done.
How, what to do. She right. knows how to book the things.
And take things and off of David's
that's
plate
true.
And just get it done and over with before she leaves.
All right. All right.
So
okay.
And I just think David in that moment when they're, you know, the whole suit, when Patrick is getting fitted for his suit, I think that what David is saying and the things that he brings up are just David.
You're right.
Just things that David wants and things that David's looking for. That he would have said the same things to Alexis. If,
yeah.
You know.
Okay. All right. All right. That's fair.
So I don't know. I just think David knows what he wants too. As much as Alexis knows what she wants, David knows what he wants too.
Yeah.
It's his wedding. But yeah, so
okay, yeah, we need to talk about Stevie.
The car.
I've learned to just keep my mouth shut when it comes to Stevie on this podcast because I just don't know anymore, man. I don't know anymore. What the fuck is going on with her?
It's funny that you say that because I promised myself that I would keep my mouth shut about Stevie
no!
because in this episode, I don't have anything good to say. I really need her to just stop talking.
I oh my god.
Herself
oh my god.
And about her revelations every 5 fucking seconds about what oh my god, what have I done? And oh my god,
thank
what
you.
Am I doing?
I'm so it's glad like, it's not just me because I genuinely
I don't know, Stevie, what are you doing?
I genuinely felt like I have fatigue. I'm
because
fatigued by
the
her.
Rest of the world is going on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I mean, and then she mentions it, what everybody else is thinking, like, I left a good job. Like, I left Mr. Rose high and dry. Like, okay. All things we know.
I mean, you didn't seem that uncomfortable doing that because you
David
were so
not
sure.
Did David warn you about Larry Air?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the writing,
the
right?
Yeah,
like,
it's not Emily.
It's like, it's bugging me. Like, what is going on with Stevie? Like, what's the end game here? Because if this is the game we're going to play for the next four, like 10 episodes.
Know. And we said it too in episode one. I hope this gets somewhere.
That's what, yeah. It's fucking better now after 4 episodes of fucking around.
You know, in the car, when she's talking about her situation with Larry Air, it was funny. And like,
sure.
You know, like, they wanted me to be a flight attendant.
How safe could the plane be if I'm in charge?
Having Morgan here a week. And like, it's funny. It's a back and forth.
Yeah.
It's comedy. And then especially when Alexis chimes in like, oh no, babe. Like, you know,
yeah.
all this stuff. It's funny.
Right.
It is funny. But then when it is not funny anymore is when they're sitting in this suit place and she's like, oh my God, what am I doing? It's like, well, fuck.
This is the third episode in a row.
Here we go again.
Had these revelations. Or fourth.
It's, honestly, it's tiring.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
oh
telling
my
you,
God.
I'm fatigued.
How many times do I need to hear her say this?
Yeah.
I know. And as soon as I said I wasn't going to say anything,
I know. Here we are. And but you know what, though? I think we can just leave it there because we don't have any more to say.
Also, I don't want to risk making myself sound like an idiot later on
That was my point. I have to have faith in this show and in the track record they've laid out for themselves that this is not just a slow boat to nowhere. It's going to pay off and something good is going to come of this. And so let's just leave it there because.
Yeah.
So the whole time they're at the suit place, Alexis is like trying to basically like finagle a way into being the maid of honor. Oh, this is so much for you to put on your plate. Asking her pointed questions about what she's thought for the bachelor party that she hasn't thought about yet. All these things. And then when she has her breakdown, David backs away hilariously.
I love when David is like just walking around the room and he's like looking back at them.
He's like shit just got real.
What's going on right now? And very much like episode 2 of this season, when she lets Mr. Rose know that she's unsure about her place with the motel and with their partnership, you feel more for him in that moment than you do for her. And we said that.
Yeah.
In this episode, Alexis takes over.
Totally.
And it now becomes more about Alexis.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Than it does about Stevie.
It becomes like this light bulb moment for Alexis. Oh my God, this isn't even about me. This isn't even about the wedding. This is about having Stevie feel like she has control over something in her life.
She drops the selfishness. She drops all things that we know about Alexis, how she can be.
Right.
And she's like, you know what? I'm not going to let you give up on this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be here for you.
Right.
And then you're like, well, okay.
God damn. Of
course. Awesome.
Amazing.
Fuck yeah, Alexis.
Amazing for Alexis. What Stevie, a moment for her.
Step out of the way. Alexis.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Come in, girl.
Come on.
Come
let's
in.
Go.
We want you.
Come in for this.
Come join the party.
So proud of you. Yeah, and then I can appreciate this.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, going back to what I was saying earlier, David extricating himself from that situation is part of that, I think.
I think so too.
In terms of visual cues for the audience and stuff, he's not a part of this anymore. It's not even about him. It's not even about anything anymore. It's about Alexis having that moment of clarity and that light bulb moment to say, oh, yeah. Now my job here for the next month while I'm still here is to support and guide Stevie to do a good job for David.
And it begins when David allows her that.
True.
He allows her to take over and I guess break the news.
Figure it out.
And he's like, okay, as long as there's no hurt feelings, that's it.
Right.
That's the only caveat to this. It's like, okay, you could do this, but.
That's right.
And then she takes it from there and he allows her. And that's, when he steps away and he walks around and he keeps kind of like looking over his shoulder and looking back to see how things are going. He's proud of her. He even grins.
He
gives off this grin that's like, all right.
I know. It's very cute. It's such a sibling moment between these two.
It really
is. I love it. And then it's made even more special.
Stop it.
By the end. I will say this. Yes. I love that Alexis is going to give him away. Mm-hmm. But that is now two jobs that Moira isn't doing. And I need to know what the fuck Moira is going to be doing in this wedding.
I need to know what Johnny's going to be doing also.
Johnny can stand in the corner for all I care.
Oh, stop.
But Moira's, she's going to need to be a part of this wedding somehow.
What if she
officiates? She has to officiate
she
it, right?
She has to.
She has to.
She has to.
She like that. That's the only obvious logical choice now.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I could totally see
because
that
I
happening.
Could totally see her giving David away. That would have been a really sweet moment of them walking down the aisle together. But I can totally see Moira officiating the fuck out of this wedding.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It also means okay, so who's the best man going to be? Does Patrick get to pick a best man? Does he? I mean, we know he doesn't have any siblings. I mean, I guess Johnny could be the best man.
I guess so.
Imagine
maybe.
If it's Ray. I'll die
if
it's Ray.
Here's something that I'm thinking. I'm thinking that they're setting us up to think that Alexis is going to give him away. But I don't know. I feel like in the end, it's such a perfect father-son
thing
to have Eugene or have Johnny. give him away. Come on. I feel like it's so perfect.
I know.
So I feel like they're like setting us up to think that.
I have so much like, but like anxiety.
I can see the flusteredness of it all, or maybe having things Alexis go show wrong. Late.
Yeah, or like things happen. Yeah.
And then it's like, well, dad. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, I'd be proud to. Like, I can see that, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, I can see
but
that.
But also, that is such a trope. And this show is always breaking tropes and right.
It's true.
So I could also see them not doing that because we're expecting it.
That's the fun part about it. We don't know
of the show.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm
so excited.
Yeah.
I also love just that little bit of Alexis sneaking back through. And it's like, I could also be the flower girl and then
I can
loop back around.
Wear a dress made of flowers.
What?
Yes, you could, Alexis.
She actually
could.
She totally could.
And he's like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to ask Jocelyn.
No need to pull focus.
And she's like, boop, boop. She boops him.
Boops.
And then when she goes, David, boop. Oh, my God. It's so perfect. I love it.
These two genuinely have such a great sibling dynamic.
They do.
Like, I mean, they've been fostering it over the last 6 years, too. But, like, it's really coming to the forefront here, and I love it.
I know.
I stan.
the look of surprise that she gives him when he asks her if she'll give him away.
She's genuinely like, oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
And in her own way, it's like, oh, my God, that's, like, the most important job. You know, like, she has to, like, make it something about her. But, like, she's genuinely, like, happy about it. It's awesome. Any stray observations?
Yeah. Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
His suit.
Oh, my God. Gorge.
Yeah, she looks like James Bond.
Yeah.
The big deal that David makes.
Oh, my God.
About the love of his life looking so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love it.
I was watching the show with subtitles.
Yeah.
And when Stevie and Alexis are having that moment where, like, Stevie mouths thank you to her because she's just said, like, I'll help you through this or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Patrick has just come out wearing his suit and you can hear David in the back, like,
yes,
we can button it up and it fits you in the shoulders. And he's like,
I love commenting
all about how great it looks.
There's a lot of like little details, little things that are thrown out in this episode that I really appreciated and loved. Like the name drops, like Diplo.
Oh, the Diplo nudes. That's right.
And she's so funny about it. She's like, yes. She does the Carol Burnett, like tongue to the roof of your mouth kind of a thing. That and
Michael Myers. Come on.
Oh, my.
Come on.
Gosh. My favorite line in this whole episode.
Just the look in your eyes sent a chilling, wet gust of raspberries to my face.
I just don't like horror movies. My first boyfriend took me to a Michael Myers movie and I never got over it.
Not the love guru.
Moira, you don't really care if I like your movie.
Don't be kidding.
When she said the love guru,
dude,
everything clicked and I died.
That is the most Moira line that could ever be.
Have you ever seen The Love Guru?
Yes.
It's fucking terrible.
It is. And I also will go on record right here and right now and say that I always have to, in my head, go, Mike Myers funny, Michael Myers scary. Like, I always have to remind myself of who's who when people casually name drop Michael Myers as if he's a person that we know
Mike,
by name.
It's either Mike or Michael.
Michael Myers is Jason, right? Can we just call him Jason?
No. Is that's that Jason Voorhees.
Oh. No. But it's Friday the 13th, right? Whatever. Okay, you take my
Michael
point.
Michael is Halloween.
Halloween.
Right.
What
Friday
did I say?
Friday the 13th is a different movie. That's Jason.
Okay, Halloween is Michael Myers. That's what I meant.
Yes. Wait. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. I have my horror
The Jamie
movie.
Lee Curtis movies.
Right.
Okay. That's Michael Myers.
Right.
Mike Myers is...
His
Austin Powers, like
Wayne's
like,
World,
that's how
Austin
I have
Powers.
To, but I'm always, I always make that distinction in my head to
that.
Remember.
Well, yeah.
And it's hilarious that they brought that up. And of course, Moira would call Mike Myers Michael Myers.
Not the love guru.
Because that's how she refers to everybody. Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, it is so good.
It's
great. Is really good.
Also, a gust of wet raspberries.
many raspberries has Moira had thrown at her face?
The fact that she even knows the term is hilarious.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And then Alexis talks about throwing a bachelorette party for Megan Fox.
Oh my God. Anyone else feel like that's like she's talking about they hunt humans on this island?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about The Purge.
Yeah.
Immediately.
It's fully like that's my brain anything, went straight
nothing
to
is illegal. Like nothing.
Cannibalism or like yes. something. Like insane.
That's what I thought of too. Oh, it's just,
yeah.
Again, one of those episodes that is just ripe. With like little
of
things.
Throwaway funny yeah. things that are really like smart yeah. and good.
It's
yeah.
great.
Also, the casual word of like turn of phrase when Twyla mentions that, like, oh my God, imagine if it wins an Oscar. And Moira's like, we mustn't put the wagon before, or we must keep the wagon in the wake of the mare. Like, what an insane way to say don't put the cart before the horse.
Yes.
Like, insane. I love her so much for it.
Right. It would be boring if she had said it
absolutely.
That way.
And also, Moira was going to say common words like cart
no.
in horse. Of course not.
Absolutely not. But also, I love that she mentions the Golden Globes and like
oh,
the awards.
I know.
It's like,
Listen, we've said it before. We've said it again. This is O'Hara's era.
It is.
Always has been, always will be. It's just a matter of the Academy's catching up to us. Okay.
Well, please catch up soon.
I know. We have one more awards season left.
Well, they're going
to
get it.
They have
they're,
to.
They're taking all of it.
Everything else is ending or ended, yeah. so they might as well give it to them.
They're taking it.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
They legit have to. All right, let's get into our next segment.
Who wore what best?
Whoop, whoop. For me, I kind of like my brain shut down the minute I saw this on the screen. Moira's feather
yes.
earmuffs.
Yeah.
Like the minute I saw those. Like nothing else registered, you know? I was just, it was all earmuffs all the time. But in general, that entire outfit she's wearing is pretty epic.
It's amazing. The shoes, too.
The shoes are great. The tights, yeah. the black and the white. Like the back of that coat seems to be open.
Hmm.
And you can see her mini skirt like through the back. I don't quite understand what's happening with this whole thing.
Interesting.
But those feather earmuffs, what the fuck? Amazing.
Yeah.
So that's mine.
Nice.
Thanks.
Well, for me, I am going to choose Alexis's outfit. I loved all of it, honestly.
Yeah.
But the thing that I couldn't stop staring at, and that actually was very distracting because of how many times she fidgeted with them, were her earrings.
Earrings, yeah.
And every single scene she was messing, like kept turning them because they would turn.
Yeah.
And she kept having to put them back and, like, fix them, you know, adjust them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, distracting at
yeah,
times.
It was.
However, even the large gold bangle that she's wearing on her wrist, the dress, this maxi dress, is just so pretty.
It was very pretty with an insane slit, too.
Oh, yeah.
But she handled like a pro.
Yeah.
She sat like a fucking pro in it.
Absolutely. And then, you know, top it off with the top knot that she has. She just looked great. I mean,
yeah, effortlessly
very,
beautiful.
Very pretty. Very beautiful. So I'm going to give it to Alexis.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yes, yes. So before we get into our final segment, which is our ratings,
yes,
let's read some of the messages we got from people letting
yes.
us know what they thought.
This is becoming
this.
My favorite part of every episode.
Really?
Yeah, I love hearing
it's
from
fun.
People.
It's fun. I do too. Yes. We got people saying that this was the best episode of the season so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
I disagree, but okay.
I've watched it 3 times already and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Favorite part is David asking Alexis to give him away. Although
aww.
I think Johnny is going to be sad unless they ask him to do the ceremony, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see.
Lots of predictions there.
Mm-hmm. This was quite an episode with all the siblings' feels. And of course, one of the most iconic David moments, backing away from Stevie's mini breakdown and basically hiding amongst the coats. His face during that scene is pure gold. I think this episode's word would definitely be kindred.
Ah, kindred.
Because the familial oh. ties are strong here, both between the actual Roses and their adopted family in Schitt's Creek.
I like that.
And they're giving us permission to say their name, Zach Tack.
Zach Tack. Oh, we know Zach Tack. We had the pleasure, well, I had the pleasure of meeting him at EatsCon
oh,
last
okay.
May. You weren't there yet.
I remember you telling me about that.
We met in line and you hadn't arrived yet. And then he was also at the panel that Dan did. I remember he asked a question and that was cool.
Yes.
Hey, Zach.
Hi. Loved it. Laughed out loud at the cold open. 4 episodes in and Schitt's Creek season 6 is my favorite.
Wow.
The hearkening back to the beginning, full circleness of it all. Laughing both because it's funny and we know these characters and have seen them grow. Marveling at Dan Levy's thoughtful brilliance.
I will say there is some thoughtful brilliance happening here.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I love this. How dare Gwen show her face? I am in love with how much we get to see of David and Alexis this season. I loved their looks to each other and convos this episode. And at the end, so sweet, I was crying. Boop. Did you believe that guy in the motel, though? I thought they were going to check the contract after, but they didn't. I thought he was making up the arrangement with Betty and Benny.
Yeah, see? We're not alone there. I genuinely don't think that will ever come back up again, though. I don't think it'll ever be a problem.
I don't think so either. Okay, we have Dave and Alexis, sibling goals.
This was a definitely sibling goalsy episode.
Yeah. So proud of Alexis for realizing what Stevie needs right now and giving up something she really wants for someone else. Alexis has grown so much since season 1, and this selfless act really showcases that. Hashtag shitheads for life.
Aww.
That was great that Alexis did not take that responsibility from Stevie. Just more, you know, the same
love for Alexis.
Yeah. I mean, this really was a lot of praise given to Alexis.
Yeah.
A lot of people giving praise to her this episode, which
well deserved.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that.
All right. Let's get into ratings. Ratings. Ratings.
I am going to give this episode a 4 out of 5 Larry Ayer lawsuits. I loved the Crow's storyline. I loved the Alexis and David storyline. I didn't like Stevie in the Alexis and David storyline.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm giving it less than 5. Also, the believability of the Roland and Johnny storyline with this guy, this somehow bothers me a little bit. So, you know, for me, it gets a 4 out of 5 Larry Ayer lawsuits.
I'm giving it a 3.5 superlatives surging anew, which is what Moira says to Jocelyn. I take issue with a few things here. Like, I don't think this is the greatest episode of all time. I don't like the resolution to the Johnny Roland guy in the hotel with the contract story. I think it's a little too much for me to suspend my disbelief to think that this guy's okay and then to never revisit him or think about him ever again. It's too much for me there. And then the Stevie of it all. I can't.
I know.
I can't with the Stevie. I'm really glad I'm not alone there, man. I'm really glad because I was so ready to just like let you talk and shut up. But I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know enough to know that there's got to be a payoff. But right now for episode 4, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. 3.5 superlatives.
Nice.
Surging anew.
I like very much.
Thank you. That's going to do it for us, folks.
I think so.
As always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Up Schitt's Creek Pod on Instagram and Facebook or at Up Schitt's Creek on Twitter. Send us your thoughts on either social media or at upschittscreekpod@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/upschittscreek. And until next time,
we love you, shitheads. Kiel Vaj.
Blessings.
This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily and Lucina.
Well, hello, you.